feel like a king when I'm out with her highness. I'm her big cat daddy. She's my little miss honky tonk. Yeah, I'm her big cat daddy. She's my little miss honky tonk.
Country favorites back to back to back. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
She talks about the future like she's flipping through a magazine. Finds the beauty in the thrown away and broken things. Gets excited about all my crazy dreams. Got every sunset that she's ever seen memorized. Saves him away for a rainy day or stormy night. Sky's brighter looking at it through her eyes. I don't remember life before she came into the picture. Brought the beauty I was missing with her. Showed me colors I ain't never seen. She took chances with every wall I built. She saw canvas. I thank God every day for how he made her. My life was black and white, but she she reminds me that it ain't too late to start again. Fine is good, but you need some blue every now and then. How'd I live so long without her reckless touch? I don't remember life before she came into the picture. I was missing with her. Showed me colors I ain't never seen. She took chances with every wall I built. She saw canvas. I thank God every day for how he made her. My life was black and white, but she's the painter. I don't remember life before she came into the picture. Brought the beauty I was missing with her. Showed me colors I ain't never seen. She took chances with every wall I built. She saw canvas. I thank God every day for how we made.
Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Trump has completed his cabinet selections. He announced Brooke Rollins as his nominee for Secretary of Agriculture. There's still attention on his second nominee for Attorney General. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says Pam Bondi continues to illustrate how Trump wants to approach the Justice Department.
Pam Bondi is a loyalist. I mean, she is a former state attorney general. 8 years as Florida's AG, but she is somebody who speaks at Trump rallies, was there with Trump when he was challenging the election results in 2020, and is somebody who will truly be a loyalist in that job.
It's expected to be a record-setting holiday travel period, but weather complicating trips for many. Already more than 500 flights have been delayed today in the U.S., and game show host Chuck Woolery's died. He was the first host of Wheel of Fortune. He spent 11 years hosting Love Connection. He was 83. This is ABC News. A North Carolina college making significant cuts as St. Augustine's, a private, historically black Christian college in Raleigh, may lose its accreditation next month because of shaky finances. Saturday, the school said it'll cut staff in half and drop $17 million in funding. Seniors have been stranded in their Houston homes for months because of a broken elevator.
Been broken at Houston's Life at Sterling Woods Senior Center for months. Residents not able to leave on their own. Renter Melvin Johnson.
I can't go to my doctor's appointment. Every doctor's appointment that I had, I missed because I can't get up.
This woman calling the Houston Fire Department to carry her out to make her appointments.
I feel closed in. Can't move around, depressed, and just waiting till the elevators get fixed.
A sign there says management's waiting on a part to fix the elevator. It's dated July 10th. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Management did not respond to ABC's Houston's request. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durant location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies on tap for today with light east winds at highs in the lower 40s. For tonight, we'll see rain developing, especially after midnight. Cloudy skies, lows in the mid-30s, or winds turning to the northwest. Rain snow mix on Monday. Explore your holiday getaway options in Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com.
Currently 35 degrees.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
You, even though we alibi. Cause when the night falls, you make me forget your love is killing me. And it ain't over yet. How did you get to me? No one else on earth could ever hurt me, break my heart the way you do. No one else on earth was ever worth it. No one could love me like, no one could love me like you. I shivered once, you broke into my soul.
The greatest band leaders ever, her husband Cactus Mosher. You probably remember him from Highway 101 from back in the day. Here's Keith Urban and Kissing Girl.
I shouldn't be alone.
Plum City Wolves. From all of us at Rio Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
The sun's gone down since you got gone. I bet you think I'm still sitting here alone. All tore up like a whiskey label, staring at the key that you left on the table. Hate to tell you, baby, but you got it wrong. No, I ain't missing you like crazy. Keeping better company lately. I'm doing alright for the shape I'm in. Sitting by the fire with some damn good friends. Willie on my left, Jack on my right. Blowing that smoke on a Friday night. Willie turned up on the JBL. Girl, you probably think I'm going through hell, but I don't care if you never come back. Cause who needs you when I got friends like that? About this time you and I'd be tangled up. Yeah, but that's alright. This fire's been keeping me warm enough. Holding on to you, girl, who needs that? I got a wide knuckle grip on a whiskey glass. When it gets down to ice, I just fill it back up. On my own, girl, I might lose it, but I got buds to get me through it. I'm doing alright from the shape I'm in. Sitting by the fire with some damn good friends. Willie on my left, Jack on my right. Blowing that smoke on a Friday night. Waylon turned up on a JBL. Girl, you probably think I'm going through hell, but I don't care if you never come back. Cause who needs you when I got friends like that? Yeah, I got friends like that. Yeah. Telling me I don't need you no more.
Telling me I don't need you no more.
This kind of thing is what friends are for. Jack on my right, blowing that smoke on a Friday night. Doing alright for the shape I'm in. Sitting by the fire with some damn good friends. Willie on my left, Jack on my right, blowing that smoke on a Friday night. Willie turned up on the JBL. Girl, you probably think I'm going through hell, but I don't care if you never come back. Cause who needs you when I got friends like that?
John Morgan, along with Jason Aldean, said when they did the song, they wanted the song to seem like a conversation, like, you know, the singer is listening to his friend's advice about putting himself together and moving on. And they wanted it to be a conversation that maybe like Willie and Waylon would have had, that sort of thing. Greatness from both of them. Hey, in just a couple of minutes, stuff from Shania, Hank Jr., and Kenny Chesney.
For excellence in auto body work and paint jobs, there's only one name to see, JKO Auto Body Shop of Durant. Because JKO Auto Body Shop strives for excellence in every job they do. You'll know that when your car is repaired by JKO Auto Body Shop, that is in back-to-factory specifications, from the parts to the paint. And it will last, too. JKO works with all insurance companies. From body work to paint jobs, excellence is what you'll find at JKO Auto Body Shop, Madison Street, Durand.
You know, our lives are busy, and at times it's hard to seize an opportunity, especially one that's good for us. Eating fresh fruits and vegetables from Durand Fresh Market is simple and good for your health. Strapped for time? Durand Fresh Market has all the ingredients for a healthy meal for your family that can be prepared in under 10 minutes. Today and every day, Durand Fresh Market is filled with hundreds of healthy options, including locally grown items. Hometown proud, Durand Fresh Market, downtown Durand.
Need snacks and treats for Deer Camper Thanksgiving? Visit O'Galley Cheese Factory for homemade squeaky fresh curds, take and bake pizza, locally made beef sticks and brats, plus a variety of craft beers. Call ahead and O'Galley Cheese Factory can have your cheese and sausage trays ready to go before Deer Camp or your Thanksgiving dinner. O'Galley Cheese Factory store is open 7 days a week, 2 miles north of Durand on Highway 25.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Wake up and be a McDonald's breakfast person. Enjoy a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get two for just $6. Order ahead in the app to save time. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Shop Dell Technologies Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I don't feel so good.
You do feel hot. DayQuil Kids will take care of that fever.
What about my cough?
DayQuil Kids has that covered.
Will it make my throat feel better?
Yes, that too.
But will it taste good?
Yep, DayQuil Kids comes in your favorite flavor.
Purple?
Well, yes, it's grape.
Try new DayQuil Kids Plus Fever, the daytime coughing, aching, sore throat fever just for kids medicine. Safe for kids 6 plus. Use as directed.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Just learned to stay out of his way. There've been street fights, blue lights, long nights with the world sitting on my chest. It just showed me how much I could take. Hard times, bad luck, sometimes life sucks. That's all right, I'm okay. It ain't nothing but another day, but only God knows where. Their hands on me, and I ain't even done a damn thing wrong. I've been waylaid, freight trains, shortchanged by bigger and fatter men, but all I got to say is bring it on. Hard rain, rough roads, so my life goes. That's alright, I'm okay. It ain't nothing but another day, but only God knows where.
Dobie Buffaloes from all of us at Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
She walks in the Smokies one hip at a time, like a broken field runner slipping through the line. He likes the way she looks, so he calls a little wife, says don't wait up for me, I'll be working late tonight. Wife hangs up the phone, burst into tears, calls her sister up and cries, get over here.
Sister tells her boyfriend, be back in a while. Boyfriend wants a beer, the store is just a mile. He leaves the motor running, he'll only be a minute. His car drives away with teenagers in it. The driver tells his buddies, got one life to live. They scream into the night, let's get it over with. Cause and effect, chain of events, all of the chaos makes perfect sense. When you're spinning round, things come undone. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. The kid guns a gas, car starts to swerve. Heads for a semi-truck, jumps the curb. Truck hits a big boy in the Shoney's parking lot. He flies through the air, takes out the bank clock. Clock strikes a light pole, transformer sparks. Lines go downtown, goes dark. Waitress calls the cops, says she saw it all. Swears a giant alien has landed at the mall. Cops ring up the mayor, says there's panic in the streets. We hate to wake you up, but we can't find the chief. Mayor says use your head if he ain't in his car. He's hiding from his wife down at Smokey's bar. Cause and effect, chain of events, all of the chaos makes perfect sense. When you're spinning round, things come undone. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. Cause and effect, chain of events, all of the chaos makes perfect sense. When you're spinning round, things come undone. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. Welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
As you listen to the radio ministry of First Baptist Church of Durand this morning, you may have noticed a familiar voice of Pastor Vick has been replaced by a guest speaker, Dr. Bob Corey. Pastor Vick is away attending a funeral. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you can, to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. That's the account of Jesus' temptation. I've entitled my message this morning, The Crisis of Temptation. Join me for the next few minutes as we explore this text together. I'd like to read that. I didn't always read text, but I find that many times people are not familiar with the text, and so when you're preaching on it and you're not familiar with it, you sometimes wonder where the guy's going that's preaching. So Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, that's Jesus, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, Here's another if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written. Notice how Satan can quote scripture. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. We see since the fall in the Garden of Eden, temptation has been a constant, unrelenting part of the human life. Men have tried to avoid and resist it with self-inflicted pain, I would say women too, to make themselves uncomfortable, presumably more humble, or by insulating themselves from other people from physical comforts. But no person has ever found a place or a circumstance that can make them safe from all temptation. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, one of the most monumental, mysterious spiritual battles of all time is recounted, the personal confrontation between Jesus Christ and Satan. The devil's temptation directed at Jesus in the wilderness of Judea were observed by no other human being. It was just Jesus and the devil. He was entirely alone, and it is therefore obvious that we could know nothing of what happened unless Jesus himself had told his disciples of it. Here he reveals the victory secret, as it were, of his momentous struggle with Satan. The encounter occurred immediately after Jesus' baptism, which, in terms of his kingship, represented his coronation and his commissioning. Now, after his proclamation as king comes the test of his kingliness. His baptism in the Jordan declared his royalty. His testing in the wilderness demonstrated his royalty. Here, Jesus proved that he was worthy to receive and to reign over the kingdom of his Father that he would give him. The one whom the Father had just said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here shows why Matthew 3:17 here shows why he is well pleasing and in harmony with a divine plan. Here, for the first, demonstrated his power over hell. As his absolute power forbid him to bow to the God of this world, so he faced the full force of Satan's wicked deception, yet remained untouched and uncontaminated. Evil at its lowest was overcome by him. The goodness at its highest was commended by him. The combination of both accredited him as king. In his struggle, the Son of God with the son of perdition, we are given clear and applicable insights into Satan's strategy against God and us, his people, also into Christ's way of victory over the tempter. Side by side, we are shown the way of danger, the way of escape, the way that leads to defeat and death, and the way that leads to spiritual victory. In short, the way of Satan and the way of God. It seems that Matthew had two primary purposes in presenting Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. First, I already mentioned Jesus' victory demonstrated his divine kingship, his royal power to resist the only other great ruler and dominion in the universe, Satan himself. Christ here won his first direct battle with the enemy and thereby gave evidence of his glorious right and power as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the supreme ruler of all creation, the only God. By so doing, he sealed his final victory yet to come. Satan's purpose in the temptation was, of course, just the opposite, to conquer the newly commissioned king, to overthrow the Messiah, and to claim all his royal rights and prerogatives for himself. Matthew's other purpose was to demonstrate the pattern found in Jesus' human victory over sin, a pattern that he longs to share with all who belong to him. When we face testing and temptation in the same way our Lord did, we too can be victorious over the adversary's attempt to corrupt us and to usurp the Lord's rightful place in our life. The momentous encounter that Matthew here describes and from which believers can gain such help and encouragement may be divided into three parts: the preparation, the temptation, and the triumph. The momentous encounter of Jesus with Satan first involved a preparation. As we consider this, I'm going to reread Matthew 4, 1 and verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. We learn from Mark's gospel that immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, Mark 1:12. The word immediately, of course, is sequential to the baptism. As soon as Jesus' baptism was completed, his 40-day wilderness experience began. Mark's use of the word impelled indicates the necessity of Jesus' temptation. Although the temptations were given by Satan, they are part of God's perfect plan for the redemptive work of his Son. One of the great truths of life, from which even the Son of God was not exempt on earth, is that after every victory comes temptation. Let me repeat that. One of the great truths of life, from even the Son of God was not exempt on earth, is that after every victory comes temptation. God's word warns, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." When we have just succeeded in something important, we are invariably tempted to think that we made the accomplishment in our own power and that it is rightfully and permanently ours. When we are most exhilarated with success, we are also most vulnerable to pride and to failure. I do some work with churches that are building buildings, and it's amazing to me to think when a church gets a new building, how quickly the pastor falls. I did it. A wonderful thing. All the money came in. I did it. And the pastor falls. Don't ever want to get in that position. At other times, success causes us to feel invincible and to let down our guard. And when testing comes, we are not prepared for them. In the contest between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, the Lord gave dramatic and miraculous evidence that he was the true God and that Elijah was his true prophet. First, he sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifices and wood that had been soaked in water. Then, in answer to the prophet's prayer, he sent rain to the drought-stricken Judah, 1 Kings 18. But within less than a day, Elijah was in despair and asked the Lord to take his life. Why? After being courageous and immovable before 450 false prophets, he shriveled before the threats of one Jezebel. If you remember the story, Jezebel said, "By this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead." From the height of exhilarating victory, he quickly fell into despair. And we might think, well, why didn't he just ask God for strength? That happens. That's why we need a body of believers. And no sooner had Jesus experienced the first great testimony to his ministry than he faced his first great test of ministry. After being anointed by the Holy Spirit and attended by the Father, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness, Luke 4. Jesus now was in full consciousness of his divine mission, and his sacred humanity was filled through and through with the abiding presence and power of God. As never before, he was deeply satisfied that he contemplated the redemptive work he was about to accomplish. After 30 days of waiting, 30 years of waiting in obscurity, he now was fully commissioned to begin his task. Then the devil tried to turn him away. Before the three strong temptation efforts were directed to Jesus, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We're not told what he did during that period, but he had no doubt spent most of the time communing with his Heavenly Father. Between the baptism and the temptations, perhaps he needed the special preparation of being entirely alone and undisturbed with his Father. Even in his perfect humanity, Jesus needed time for thought and for prayer, as we all do. Moses spent 40 years in Midian, being prepared to lead Israel from Egypt to Canaan. Between his conversions and the beginning of his ministry, Paul spent 3 years in preparation in the Nabataean Arabia. It seems a great understatement to say that after Jesus' long period of fasting, he became hungry. Yet Matthew's simple, direct words give strong evidence that the story was not manufactured by the disciples or even the early church. The writing of virtually every false religion and cult are characterized by exaggeration and over-dramatization of the events relating to the lives of its founders and key leaders. By contrast, even the most astounding events in Scripture are reported with restraint and simplicity. Hunger not only makes us physically weak, but it also tends to weaken our moral and spiritual resistance. When we are tired, hungry, or sick, we are usually less concerned about other needs and dangers and tend to be vulnerable to anything that might provide relief from our present distress. Satan, therefore, usually attacks most fiercely in such times of weakness and unpreparedness. Temptations that have been anticipated, guarded against, and prayed about have little power to harm us. Jesus tells us to keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. It's Mark 14. Victory over temptation comes from being constantly prepared for it, which in turn comes from constantly relying on the Lord. The momentous encounter of Jesus with Satan secondly involved three specific temptations. Satan is here spoken of as the tempter, one of his descriptive names and titles in Scripture. We are not told what form the devil may have taken on this occasion, but his confrontation with Jesus was direct and personal. They spoke to each other and even moved about together, first to the pinnacle of the temple and then to a high mountain. Satan's first great frontal attack on Jesus as he began his earthly ministry was in the form of three temptations, each designed to weaken and destroy the Messiah in an important area of his mission. The temptations became progressively worse as they went on. The first was for Jesus to distrust the providential care of his Father and to use his own divine powers to serve himself. The second was to presume on the Father's care by putting him to the test. The third was for him to renounce the way of his Father and to substitute the way of Satan. So the first temptation of Jesus by Satan was to distrust the care of his Father. The temptation goal? To doubt the Father's provision. Follow along as I read in Matthew 4, 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, and he was, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil's first approach to Jesus had also been his first approach to Eve, to cast doubt on God's word. He asked Eve, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Genesis 3:1, causing her to question God's command. His first word to Jesus was, if you are the Son of God. This Greek conditional phrase references his baptism. Before he gave the direct temptation, Satan gave the first temptation simply to set up the other two. Satan was hoping to persuade Jesus to demonstrate his power to verify that it was real. That would mean violating God's plan that he set that the power aside that he had been given in humiliation and use it only when the Father willed him to. Satan wanted Jesus to disobey God. Affirming his deity and rights as the Son of God would have been an act to act independently of God the Father. The first direct temptation in the wilderness was for Jesus to act against God's plan and to command that these stones become bread. This temptation involved a great deal more than Jesus satisfying his hunger. After 40 days and nights, he certainly was hungry and thirsty, and he had the right to have something to eat. The most obvious part of the temptation was for Jesus to fulfill his legitimate physical needs by miraculous means. But the deeper temptation was Satan's appeal to Jesus' supposed rights as Son of God. Why, Satan seemed to say, should you starve in the wilderness if you are really God's Son? How could the Father allow his Son to go hungry, when he even provided manna for the rebellious children of Israel in the wilderness? Satan is clever. And had not Isaiah written of the righteousness that his bread will be given him, his water will be sure? You are a man. You need food to survive. If God had let his people die in the wilderness, how could his plan for redemption have been fulfilled? If he lets you die in the wilderness, how can you fulfill your divine mission on his behalf? Pretty clever, huh? This purpose of the temptation was not simply for Jesus to satisfy his physical hunger, but to suggest that his being hungry was incompatible with his being the Son of God. He was being tempted to doubt the Father's word, the Father's love, and the Father's provision. Remember, he could have 10,000 angels come at an instant. He had every right, Satan suggested, to use his own divine powers to supply what the Father had not. The Son of God certainly was too important and dignified to have to endure such hardships. Satan can work on us in many ways. And he had been born in a stable, had to flee Egypt for his life, spent 30 years in an obscure family and an obscure village in Galilee, and 40 days and nights unattended in the wilderness, unrecognized and unpitied. Surely that was more than enough ignominy to allow him to identify with mankind. But now the Father himself had publicly declared him to be his Son. It was time for Jesus to use some of his divine authority for his own personal benefit. So that was the first temptation. The second temptation of Jesus by Satan was to presume on his Father's care. The temptation's goal here was testing God the Father. In Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7, we read, "Then the devil took him into a holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If,'" here's our if again, "'if you are the Son of God,'" and he was, "'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Having failed to induce Jesus to use his divine powers to serve his own selfish interest and thereby rebel against the will of his Father, Satan proceeded to tempt the Son to put his heavenly Father's love and power to a test. By some means, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. The location and form of the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem has not been identified with any certainty. It must have been part of the reconstruction ordered by Herod the Great, and most likely was on the eastern side of the temple, overlooking the Kidron Valley. The pinnacle may have been on the roof and extended over Herod's portico. Josephus reports the drop to the valley floor at that point was 450 feet. According to early tradition, James, the head of the Jerusalem church, was martyred by being thrown from this portico. Still hoping to undermine Jesus' relation to God and his divine sonship, the devil again introduced his temptation with the words, "If you are the Son of God, prove to yourself and to the world that you are the Son of God." Satan taunted by saying, "Throw yourself down." Could he have done that? Sure. For at least two reasons, Jesus refused to take part in a spectacle such as throwing himself off the temple roof. First, any sensationalism invariably is frustrated by the law of diminishing returns. People are never satisfied. They will always want one more sign, one more miracle, just like in Jesus' time, one more show. To have maintained his influence over the people by use of miracles, Jesus would have to produce a greater and greater sensations. Because the natural carnal heart can never be satisfied, this year's miracle will have become next year's bore. His followers would only have been lovers of sensation, not lovers of God. And secondly, and more significant, no matter how noble and important we may think our reasons are, to test God is to doubt God. To doubt God is not to trust him, and not to trust him is sin. That, of course, is what Satan wanted Jesus to do. To induce Jesus to sin, if that were possible, would shatter his perfect holiness and therefore shatter his divinity as man's hope of salvation on the cross. Had Jesus put his Father to the test, he would have separated himself from his Father and perverted the divine plan of redemption, the very purpose for which he had come. Now, the third and final temptation of Jesus by Satan was to exchange the worship of the Father for the worship of himself, Satan. The goal of the temptation was to worship Satan, not God. Again, in Matthew 4:8, we read, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, 'All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Satan now drops his pretense and makes one final desperate effort to corrupt Jesus. He finally reveals his supreme purpose, to induce Jesus Christ to worship him. And that's been his goal for not only Christ, but all of the world. He had first suggested that Jesus ought to do for himself. Next, he suggested what the Father ought to do for his Son. Now he suggests what Satan could do for Jesus in exchange for what Jesus could do for him. We are not told the very high mountain it was to which the devil took him. The significance, however, lies in the fact that his location gave the vast view of the earth. But in view of the extended far beyond what the physical vision could perceive from any vantage point, no matter how high, by some supernatural accommodation, the devil showed Jesus the glories of Egypt, its pyramids, temples, libraries, vast treasuries. He showed the power and splendor of Rome with its mighty empire spread over the known world. He showed great Athens, magnificent Corinth, and, of course, Jerusalem, the royal city of David, and more, all the kingdoms of the world. As God's own proclaimed King of Kings, Jesus had a divine right to all the kingdoms. And it was to that right that Satan appealed in his last temptation. So here was the temptation. Why should you have to wait for what is already yours? Remember, he's going to have to go through the cross event to get there. And Satan is trying to keep him from doing that. So he suggested to Jesus, you deserve to have it now. Why do you submit as a servant when you could reign now as a king? I am only offering you what the Father has already promised, but not in his time. Perhaps he reminded Jesus that God had said to the Son, ask me and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. But Satan was offering the world to Jesus on his own corrupt terms, not God's. That which the Father had promised the Son because of his righteous obedience, Satan offered to the Son in exchange for his unrighteous disobedience. God's plan in testing the Son was to prove the Son's worthiness to inherit the rule and rule the world. Satan's plan was to draw the Son away from his worthiness by enticing him to grab the kingdom the Father promised to give him after this, instead of enduring the long, bitter, humiliating, and painful road to the cross, and even longer wait for heaven and God's time to be completed. Jesus could rule the world now, Satan said. The momentous encounter of Jesus with Satan's thirdly involved triumphant over him. Follow along in your Bibles again as we read Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. When Jesus said, be gone, the devil left him because he had no choice in the matter. If we as believers tell Satan to leave, he has to leave. The Lord gives all of his children the power to resist Satan. Our problem is we don't always want to. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. As he did with Jesus, Satan will not long stay away from us, but will with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For every temptation Satan leads us into, there is a way of escape provided by the Father. Satan's temptations failed, but God's testing succeeded. Jesus' responses to the tempter were, in essence, I will trust the Father. I will not presume on his word, and I will not circumvent his will. I will take the Father's good gifts from the Father's own hand in the Father's own way, and in the Father's own time. Thus the king came through the severest test without even a hint of sin. After Satan left, angels came. How much better is the ministry of angels than the deception of Satan? At Jesus' baptism, the Father acknowledged Jesus' worthiness by proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now the Father acknowledges Jesus' worthiness by sending a myriad of angels to minister to him. At any time during his wilderness experience, Jesus could have asked for and received the aid of more than 12 legions of angels. But he waited for his Father to send them in his Father's time. And I believe that is the message of our text. Wait for the Father's time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you that when we are tested, and we are every now and then, sometimes even when we don't realize it, I pray.